basically what this book teaches you is to value your time and not only money. And it doesn't matter if you're going to lose a little bit of money while eliminating stuff, as long as the time that you get from that compensates. If you want to get into UX design, freelancing, or into any creative field, really, then you've come to the right place. I'm Sophia, nice to meet you, and in this podcast I share my own journey to becoming a UX freelancer. I share everything as I go through it, so you can learn from my mistakes and be inspired to keep going no matter what, because it will take a lot of hard work, but remember, we're in this together and we can grow much faster if we help each other out and learn from one another. I put out an episode every single Tuesday, and you can join the conversation on Instagram via the polls and the questions that I put out there. And now let's get into this week's episode. Hey everyone, today is the last episode before I launch the new version of this podcast, because I stuck myself with a name that ties me to a specific area of design and of freelancing, and I don't want to talk only about that. So I'm changing the name and I'm going to focus more on freelancing in general and how to do it in a conscious way, like I am trying to do now with all the rebranding that I'm doing on my freelance business, but I will talk about that on the first episode after that change. Today I'm going to talk about a topic that's a little bit different. It's an idea that I had about talking about the top 5 insights from the books I've read, because I had this habit of listening to a lot of audiobooks when I worked in my internship, and then I stopped because I didn't drive anymore. But a couple months ago, or a month ago, I'm not sure, I started to create this habit of reading again, this time reading in the morning proper books and not audiobooks. Because I still don't drive, I don't even have a car now. So I thought this would be a cool topic to talk about, even though I don't remember a lot of the things I read on books, because I have a really bad memory. But I managed to write 5 insights, 2 from 2 books that I read in these past months where I tried to create this habit again. And 3 from those books I listened to while I drove back and forth to my internship. So let's get right into it. The first one is of the book that I'm reading right now, which is The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. I'm not sure how you read that last name. I hope I didn't ruin it. And it is about how we are programmed by what we heard or what we experienced when we were a child. We are programmed by that to earn and hold a specific amount of money. And I didn't believe this at first. I thought it was full of bullshit, but it actually makes a lot of sense. So what the book says is that, I mean, there are some exercises in the first part. The second part is a little bit different. It's how to reprogram those memories that you have. But the first part is there are some exercises for you to think about what you heard about money when you were young, how your family handled money, and also some experiences that you had that involved money. And these past experiences, according to the book, condition you to handle money in a certain way, even if you aren't aware of it. So you can become a spender, you can become a saver, you can have a lot of debt, you can be scared of debt. And while I did these exercises, I realized a lot of things. First, I realized that why I took so long to apply for a credit card, because I remember that I heard my mom say countless times when I was beginning to handle my money, when I was beginning to have an allowance, and when I turned 16 or 18, I don't remember when I got my first debit card, but around that time, she was always saying that I should stay away from credit cards because I will get into debt and then I won't be able to pay it and blah, 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 blah. And it took a lot of time for me to realize that it doesn't matter. It matters how I handle them. And now I have one that I use to get the cashback because it has cashback and it has no, like with no strings attached, you don't pay anything. And it also is useful, like if my laptop crashes tomorrow, I can, instead of paying €1,000 for a new one, I can pay in three fractions, like pay 300 and 300 and 300 in every month without any cost. So it's a win-win. I mean, I just have to have some common sense of not spending all the credit card limit on clothes or anything like that. But I am not a spender, at least not a lot. People that have trouble with that may have trouble with credit cards. But anyway, I also heard a lot from my mom that money ruled the world and it was the millionaire's fault that the rest of us didn't have enough money to live well, and it was all their fault, and basically that there was no money for everyone, so you should only, like, this is the indirect saying, like, that you should only make enough for you to live comfortably, because she was always talking bad stuff about people with a lot of money, and I guess that got ingrained in my mind, because after I read this, I went to look at my finances to understand if this was right. And I've taken notes of where I spend my money and how much money is left at the end of the month in my savings and in every account since 2019. So I have a pretty good idea of the last 3 years. And the thing is, when I lived with my parents and I started freelancing, I earned a consistent, like, around €500 per month. Like, sometimes it was less, sometimes it was more, but it was like an average of it, which was enough for me to buy some stuff because I didn't have to pay rent or food or anything like that. So it was enough for me to live comfortably in my parents' house. Once I decided to move out, I immediately started earning between 800 and 1,000. And this was because now I'm realizing it. In that year, I knew that because I earned so little in the past month, I would not have to pay taxes next year over what I earned. So 800 to 1,000 were pretty much enough for me. I only paid like 100 to Social Security, and then the rest was money I could spend. When the year flipped, when 2022 arrived, I knew that I will have to pay taxes in 2023 because I wasn't earning 500 anymore. So what happened? I started earning an average of like 1300 to 1500, around that, which allowed me to, any guesses, live comfortably and pay my taxes. So my income is tied to my expenses, and I didn't realize this until now. And what I also noticed, my savings since I started taking notes of that, so like halfway into my internship, my savings are always oscillating between 1,000 and 4,000. It never goes down, it never goes up from that. Always in those numbers. And usually it's more in the 2,000, 3,000 range. Enough for a rainy month, or two or three rainy months, but not more than that. And that's, I think, because in my house, money meant security. So my parents will always make a deposit to my savings account when I didn't work yet, so that I would have money for a rainy day. That was what money meant to me, security. And that's why I made just enough to have some security and not more than that. And now I'm doing these mindset exercises from the book to change this so I can finally earn enough to start investing and start living really comfortably, because when you shoot for the stars, you probably land on the moon. So because I'm subconsciously shooting for living comfortably, I don't even reach that. So yeah, I hope this will change with this work that I'm doing. And this was the insight that was most memorable, most present in my mind, because it's a book that I'm reading now. Next on the list, it's the one I read before it, which is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And most of the concepts of this book, I'm not yet at a place where I can apply them, because it's about automating your work and working the 4-hour work week. But there is one concept that was really life-changing in these past months, which is the 80-20 rule, which is part of the elimination phase of the process to get to the 4-hour work week, which is not trying to do more, but trying to do less. So figuring out what's the 20% of clients that bring you the most profit and focusing on that and eliminating the rest. Or, for example, finding the 20% of tasks that bring you the most results and eliminating the rest. And it can also apply to personal life. The 20% of friends that make you the most happy when you hang out and cutting out the rest, or stop hanging out so much with the rest. Basically, what this book teaches you is to value your time and not only money. And it doesn't matter if you're going to lose a little bit of money while eliminating stuff, as long as the time that you get from that compensates. It doesn't matter if you're going to lose a few clients, if the time that you earn from that allows you to replace them with better clients. And you get more time, you get more money. It's a win-win. And there may be people in your life that you don't lose much if you cut them off, or if you stop hanging out so much with them. But you will earn time to do other stuff or to meet new people that will make you more happy. So the process, this process of elimination and stopping trying to, like, not trying to be busy all the time just because it's expected of us nowadays. Like, it seems like everyone has to have every single hour of their time filled with something, especially if you work a nine to five job. Managers expect you to just be working all the time. Even if you just become more efficient, that you don't need to be working all the time, you are just expected to. Yeah, doing this process of elimination, it's really liberating. And that was the biggest insight from this book until today. Because when I start being able to delegate and automate stuff, then I think that part of the book was really mind-blowing too. But I just wasn't still at the time where I could apply that. Okay, so let's move on into more general books and not about money or business. The next one is Good Morning, Good Life by Amy Landino. And this is going to sound like a really basic book. Like, how can you write a book only about morning routines? But the thing is, and this will only make sense if you know who Amy Landino is. So she, if you watch her videos, she looks like this really type A person that has her whole day figured out, her, like, every hour planned into her calendar, and that she wakes up early and has her coffee and she is ready to go. She looks like this kind of girl. But the thing is, if you read the book, you realize that it's not like that at all. She lets all the chips fall, and she talks in a really relatable way about how her mornings are not perfect at all, and how she is actually not a morning person. She just forces herself to be because she knows that that's how she can go through the day, how she can get more done. But she says that it's really difficult for her to wake up in the morning and do all the stuff, and she has to deal with this blind dog, which needs a lot of care, and also her husband doesn't really have the same routine as her, so she has to, like, not wake him up and ask that if he actually wakes up, so you won't talk to her in the morning because she needs the quiet space. There's all of this stuff that she needs to juggle, and that is the main insight from the book, is that a morning routine is important. Like, she talks about the importance of it to start your day right, and to, it's more about starting the day with the right mindset. So you already accomplished stuff in the morning, you already did what you had to do, so then you are more motivated to do the rest of the day. It's more about that. But she also talks about how not everyone needs to wake up really early. What matters is what you make with the first hours of your day, and those first hours can be noon to 2 p.m. Like, there, it's nothing to do with it. It's only, like, making the most of the first 2 hours and getting to the day with the right mindset. but she also talks about how this is different for everyone and how it's difficult for everyone. Like, everyone struggles with this. There are not people that just wake up and magically go through their morning with a happy face and with hearts bubbling around their head. Like, there's no one like that. And if there was someone like that, it would be Amy, you know? So that's why this book is so relatable and so mind-blowing. And yeah, this made me look into my morning routine as something that I actually enjoy and actually makes me start the day with a good mindset and not worry that much about all these things that I should be doing that everyone successful is doing. No, it's just, there is no perfect morning routine. There is your morning routine, the one that you enjoy and that makes you start the day as your best self. Basically, that's it. Not doing all these fancy rituals and not waking up at 5 a.m. Okay, now we're going to get into emotional / spiritual territory. I'm sure I've talked about this book a lot of times and about Mark Manson even more times. If you've listened since the beginning of the podcast, then you know I'm a big fan. And the book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck had to make into this list because it's an amazing book. And I actually had trouble picking just one insight from the book because the whole book is so awesome. But I ended up picking the part about how you need to choose the struggles that you want to have and why you want to have them. Basically, what Mark says here is that everyone has problems. Even the wealthiest billionaire of the earth has problems. And that, so they have struggles, and struggles are what allow us, suffering is what allows us to experience happiness. So basically, we shouldn't be looking to eliminate suffering, eliminate all the problems. We should just be choosing the best problems, I guess. So the problems that we want to deal with. For example, do you want the pain of being stuck at a 9-to-5 job? Or do you want the pain of working your ass off during years to build a business that may fail? Do you want the pain of being rejected multiple times? Or do you want the pain of loneliness? Do you want the pain of, this one is what I'm experiencing right now. Do you want the pain of missing your family and friends? Or the pain of never trying the digital nomad lifestyle? So yeah, it's the main insight I got from this book was this. And it's just it's really a simple thing that we actually, deep down, we know it. But we kind of need someone to tell us that it really is like that for us to believe it. It's kind of what happened to me. Of course, I knew this, but I didn't really believe it. We are always looking to eliminate all the problems. And then when something happens, we are always complaining about it. And actually, we are always going to have problems and struggles. And we just have to pick the ones that we prefer and that we actually kind of enjoy. Like, I actually enjoy sometimes having to work my ass off during a lot of weekends to build a business. I enjoy that a lot more than going to an office from 9-to-5, you know? I enjoy more the pain of some months not earning that much and having to like balance and having that uncertainty of what I'm going to earn. I enjoy that much, much more than having a stable paycheck but not being able to earn more than that if I want. So yeah, it's basically enduring the struggles that we choose, and that's what's going to make us actually be successful at something, because it's a no end game. And I'm kind of quoting, like paraphrasing Mark here. There is no end game. You are always going to be struggling with something, and you just have to make sure that it has a purpose and that you really want to do it, that you chose to do that. Okay, the last one is going to be a little bit woo-woo, with a lot of religious references, and I'm not a religious person at all, but if you can read past it, it's a really deep and insightful book about life in general, really. and this is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And this book talks about four agreements that allow you to live your life without emotional, quote-unquote, emotional poisoners. Yeah, this is where it gets a little bit woo-woo. It starts talking about all these concepts that are a little bit strange. And the four agreements are be impeccable with your words, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. And the ones that stood out the most to me were the middle ones, the don't take anything personally and don't make assumptions. And this is because I struggle a lot with this, and I didn't realize it until I read the book. I didn't realize what was going on. Basically, the idea is that no one can really hurt you if you don't take what they say or do personally. So it's about them, it's not about you. And a really good example for this is if you post a story on Instagram and someone calls you ugly or says that you don't know what you're talking about, that's not about you. That's because they are dealing with some fucked up shit in their lives, you know? It says nothing about you, it says something about them. But on the other hand, if what they say hurts you, if you get hurt by it, then that hurt, it's not about them, it's about you, because you have some wounds that they touched with what they said, and you got hurt. And the idea of this agreement, it's basically about taking responsibility for what's about you, and not taking personally what's about the other person. Really simple, but it's something that I'm sure a lot of us take a lot of things personally. Since I read this, I've been trying to change that, and it's really hard to put into practice, but just being aware of it, it's really great. And the assumptions part is also related to this, and for me it happens a lot with expectations on a relationship or on a job, a project. Like, you make assumptions about like one look, one word, or one action, and those can have many different meanings. Like, the guy you're into or the girl stares at you and then stares away and smiles, and you start making like a whole movie in your head about what's going to happen, and maybe he was just staring into the unknown and you were on the way, you know? So yeah, but the thing is, what he says in the book is that if we just started asking people what they mean, then we will not get hurt when our assumptions are broken. We will not get angry when someone behaves in a way we didn't assume they would. And even dares to say that there will be no wars in the world, no conflict in the world. I don't go that far, but it's a nice theory. But the truth is that not making assumptions avoids disappointment and avoids many misunderstandings. And it's really fucking hard to put into practice. Like, we are always assuming something about people, about what people do, about what things mean. And it's really hard to do that. But just being aware that it is a thing can really open up opportunities to understand others better, I think. Yeah, it's super hard to apply, but it's really great to be aware of it. And that's it. Those were the most memorable insights I have from the books I've read. Probably there were more insights, like better insights, that I just don't remember. And now I'm doing a page in Notion, which is where I take note of all my tasks and stuff from my brain. It's like my second brain. I have a page there which is called Library, where I'm creating a page with every book I read, and I just take note of the major insights that I have, so that I can then go look at it after, because yeah, I'm not going to remember things that I read. There is no point to reading if you don't apply what you read. So yeah, I'm starting to do that, and I think you should try to do that too, instead of trying to read 12 books a year or 30 books a year. Doesn't matter how many books you read, it matters what you take from them and what you apply. So yeah, this was it. Next week there will be no episode because I'm going to be doing all the that rebrand that I talked about and preparing a lot of content on freelancing and how to do it consciously while making a positive impact. So subscribe if you don't want to miss that first episode that is coming out in 2 weeks. And also go follow me on Instagram if you're interested in that kind of content. I'm going to start to post frequent content in 2 weeks when that new podcast launches. So yeah, if you gave up on my Instagram because I've not been posting content, then I will start posting again. Thank you all for listening and talk in 2 weeks. Bye bye.